Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. Our text this morning will be verse 1 through 6. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. After these things, verse 1 begins, and the these things are in reference to what has come before in the 14th chapter. After these things, we find Abram in this situation. And I call our text this morning, Abram and the Lord having a talk. Abram and the Lord having a talk. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. I believe this is the first place where we see that phrase, the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said unto the Lord, What wilt thou give me? What sign will you give me that I might know these things for sure? I don't believe he's doubting the Lord. I don't believe he's lacking faith. Obviously, he's not. Lacking faith, that's not the point. But by asking for a sign, he's looking for something to affirm. He's looking for something to give him assurance of the Lord's promises upon him. There was one born in his house by the name of Eliezer, and according to the tradition of the time, the tradition of the day, Eliezer would have been Abram's legal heir if him and Sarah were to pass. And so he says, What sign of assurance will you give me, seeing this Eliezer is born in my house? God tells him, Well, this one that is born in your house will not be your heir. Is not your heir, one that will come from your own flesh, your own bowels, one that will come by way of your relationship with your wife Sarah. He will be thy heir. And he brings Abram out in verse number 5, and he says, Look at the stars. Count the stars if you can, Abram. I see in this fifth verse, and he brought him forth abroad and said, probably something to the effect of the Lord bringing Abram out to where there was real darkness, where there would be no light of their houses, their tents, their encampments, or any cities, like we see in places around our globe. He brought him to a dark sky area where there'd be no intrusion by other lights, and his clear vision would see stars and galaxies. And very soon it would become apparent to Abram he couldn't count all of those. They were too numerous to count. It was an impossibility to count all of them. And the Lord said in verse number 5, if thou be able to number them, look at them and see if you're able to number them. And he said unto them, as you consider the masses of these stars, so shall thy seed be. The sign to affirm Abraham, the sign to give him assurance, was the sign of the uncountable stars, and God reminding him that represents the number of your seed one day. It will be innumerable. It will be innumerable. And in this passage of Scripture, God tells Abram to fear not. To fear not. It's important to point out, it's important for you to pick up on the fact that everything we're looking at in these six verses is based upon those first two words in verse 1. After these. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. After everything that has transpired previously, God comes to Abram and God says to Abram, fear not. Fear not, Abram. It is said that fear not, or some form of that command, some form of that instruction, is one of the most common phrases found in the Bible. From Genesis to Revelation, one of the most common phrases to some degree is that phrase, fear not. So God comes to Abram and he says, fear not. God does not want us living in fear. God does not want us fearing and quaking. God would not have his people to be in fear. It's not his desire. It's his desire that we be at peace. It's his desire that we experience his peace. From Genesis to Revelation, I immediately go to my favorite passage of Scripture in John 14, where Jesus Christ, even in the New Testament, says to his people, let not your heart be troubled. That's a form, I believe, of these instructions of fear not. Don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. He doesn't want his people in any age, in any portion of the Scripture that you want to go to, he doesn't want his people living in fear. He doesn't want us living in fear today in 2024, in spite of the time in which we're living, in spite of the evil of the day, in spite of the fact that these are the last days of the last days. He would not have us to be living in fear. He comes to Abram And he says, fear not. One man put it as there being around 350 places where some form of those words, fear not, are found in Holy Scripture. Well, where is Abram right now? Where is Abram in regards to after these things? Well, he has just defeated kings. He has just defeated four great significant kings. He has defeated them, and it is quite possible that they are going to seek retribution. It is quite possible that they're going to seek to get revenge upon Abram. And it is many times more likely that Abram has them on his mind. He's done a miraculous thing here by the grace of God, and the hand of the Lord was upon him. And after these days, after these things, those kings are probably still on his mind. The enemy was great. He had just met Melchizedek, this mysterious figure from the Old Testament. He has just, humanly speaking, gone out on a limb and refused all of the wealth and all of the kingdom that he had obtained by going to war with these kings. He's not only defeated these four kings, met Melchizedek, but he's had all this wealth at his disposal, and God gave him the conviction not to take one penny of it. God had laid it upon his heart, and he had vowed unto the Lord in his heart before he ever went to battle that he wouldn't take a thread. He wouldn't take a shoe latchet. He refused all of these sources. Well, what do you need to live in any period of time? You need resources. What do we need to live in the day and time in which we live? We need resources. And he has refused all of these masses of resources. And now he finds himself with no heir, specifically according to the promise of God. No heir but this Eliezer. He was from Damascus. Legally, if anything happened, as I said to Abram and Sarah, Eliezer would be his legal heir, would have gotten everything. And so, in light of his great victory over these kings, in light of his meeting these other kings, particularly Melchizedek, king of Salem, in light of his refusing all of the wealth that had been placed at his disposal, in light of his having no seed to say, now this is the seed God has promised me. In light of those situations and those circumstances, God comes to him. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram, saying, fear not. God is seeing. God is sensing. God knows that there's a little bit of an issue here with fear, anxiety with Abram. And he comes unto him, saying, fear not. Fear not. And you can trace that phrase, fear not, or some variety of it, all the way through Scripture, all the way through the Word of God. In the book of Judges chapter 6, Judges chapter 6, one of the records concerning the judges one named Gideon in particular. Judges chapter 6. Verse 23, God speaking to Gideon. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. He gives them the instructions to be at peace. He gives him the assurance he's not going to die, but the message God wanted Gideon to get, the main message God wanted Gideon to understand was those two words, fear not. Fear not. In Jeremiah chapter 1, of course, we find the call of Jeremiah. And the word of the Lord comes unto Jeremiah in this first chapter. And in verse number 8, God says to Jeremiah, be not afraid. Be not afraid of their faces. For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. The Lord wanted Jeremiah to get not just that the Lord was with him, not just that he shouldn't let people scare him, but he wanted Jeremiah to get those first three words in verse number 8. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. As he said to Abram, fear not. Fear not. We need to get it into our heads, those two words. Because God speaks those words just as surely as he did to Abram, just as surely as he did to Gideon, just as surely as he did to Jeremiah, just as surely as he did to the preachers that we find in the New Testament. God would have us to get the same point. Fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. After these things, and we find those lists of situations and circumstances, God says to us, in our own set of situation and circumstances, he says to us as we review our situations and circumstances, don't be afraid. Be not afraid. Fear not. Fear is rooted in physical things. Get that. Fear is rooted in physical things. Physical things. After these things, after he reckoned all of these physical situations and circumstances, God told him not to fear. Don't be afraid. Fear is overcome by seeing it as a spiritual matter. It's not a physical matter. It's a spiritual matter. We need to trust the Lord. We need to trust the Lord. Fear is rooted in our having the wrong focus. We fear when we're looking at things. We fear when we're not trusting the Lord. We fear when we take our eyes off of God. And all of those things are a part of Abram's word of encouragement from the Lord here in this 15th chapter. And I can't help but think about Peter in a similar set of circumstances and situations, which on surface you're going, oh, those are totally different. Well, not when you really look at it. But Jesus came walking on the water, and Peter saw Jesus out there. And Peter said, "Lord, let me come out. Let me walk out to you." Jesus says, "Come on." He jumped out of the boat, started walking towards the Lord, didn't he? Started walking towards the Lord. But what did he do? He started looking at the physical things, the winds and the waves, boisterous. Fear began to creep into Peter's life when he noticed the physical circumstances he had found himself in. He wasn't trusting the Lord at that moment. He saw the things going on around him. He lost trust in the Lord, and the Lord's delivering him. And his eyes were where? Were his eyes still on Jesus? No. His eyes were on the things going on round about him. His spiritual perspective was not trusting the Lord, but he was probably asking himself the question, how am I doing this? How am I doing this? Well, Peter, you're not doing it. You're not doing it, but he'd lost that spiritual perspective. He had taken his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to sink. When you make the same mistakes, when I make the same mistakes, fear creeps in. When we think about the physical elements, when we lose the spiritual perspective that our help comes from the Lord, when we get our eyes off of God, when we get our eyes off of the Lord, we're going to sink. We're going to go under. We're going to be overtaken by fear. And God, after these things, comes to Abram and says, "Fear not. Fear not." I want to remind you of a simple yet profound truth, in my opinion. And I've made this point a couple times since we've been in Genesis, and many times over the years. But Abram had faith in God. Abram believed God. God told Abram to get up and go, and Abram got up and went. Abram is identified over and over as a man of faith. Abraham is identified in Hebrews chapter 11 as a great man of faith. Twice there in Hebrews 11, God's acknowledging of Abram's great faith is brought out. But I want you to get this point. Faith. Abram was a man of faith. We're to be people of faith. Faith is not the absence of fear. Some people define faith as the total absence of fear. Faith isn't the absence of fear. You can be afraid and you can have fears and still be a person of faith. Still be a person of faith. Faith is not the total absence of fear. Faith is the acting. Faith is the doing. Faith is the going. Faith is the obeying in spite of your fears. In spite of your fears, faith is demonstrated. So there's going to be times when fear comes, and fear, it appears, came upon Abram, the great man of faith that he was. God comes to him saying, "Fear not. Fear not." I wonder if there's somebody here this morning who God is whispering, "Fear not. Fear not." I wonder if there's anybody here whose such situations and circumstances getting the better of them. And if you don't hear it, you need to hear God saying, fear not. Hear that. God would have you hear that. God would have all of us to hear that message. God would have us in our fear to trust, to believe. No matter what might be the situation you're in, no matter how fearful you may find yourself, trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. That's the best advice. Sometimes it's cliche. Sometimes it seems so silly to tell somebody, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. It's never silly to trust the Lord. It's never silly to give people that advice. When you have nothing else to say, when you have nothing else to offer, when there's nothing else they can do, when they've come to the end of themselves and fear is overtaking them, sometimes all you can do is tell them, trust the Lord. That's never wasted advice. And Abram in his situation finds Almighty God coming to him. In spite of his fear, although he has demonstrated great faith, Abraham finds Almighty God coming to him and saying, just trust me. Just trust me. Psalms 56. As we try to hasten through things and pick and choose and omit scriptures. And this is a text that we have in our notes that I just can't pass over. In my little visitation Bible, in my little pocket vest Bible that I take with me when I go to hospitals or to make home visits, I have this passage in Psalms 56 marked out. A couple verses in particular, but I want us to read the whole chapter. Pay attention to the word of the Lord. Don't pay attention to me. Pay attention to what God's word says. What it says about faith. What it says about fear. Psalm 56, verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. He fighting daily oppresseth me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they be many that fight against me. Sounds pretty perilous, doesn't it? Sounds like he had many things that he could be fearful about. He cried out to mercy from Almighty God. My enemies would swallow me up. Daily they fight against me. They oppress me. Mine enemies would daily swallow me up. There's many that fight against me. O thou most high. But what does he say in verse number 3? What time I am afraid. What time I am afraid. I will trust in thee. See, in that verse, you find faith and you find fear. When I am afraid, I will trust. I will trust. I have spoken those words and whispered those words into many an ear. Just encourage them with, when you're afraid, just trust the Lord. Just trust the Lord. When maybe you can't do anything else, when there are no other options and you're afraid, trust in the Lord. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. You see faith? You see fear? What time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Shall they escape by iniquity? In thine anger cast down the people, O God. Thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. When I cry unto you, my enemy's going to be turned back. They're going to turn around. For God is for me. God is for me. In God will I praise his word. In the Lord will I praise his word. In God have I put my trust. I will not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Thy vows are upon me, O God. I will render praises unto thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of his living? That's such an encouraging portion of Psalm. What time I'm afraid, I will trust him. I will trust him and not be afraid of what man can do unto me. Over and over again, you find words of encouragement in that psalm. And I would summarize Psalm 56 for God's people to get this point. As you read Psalm chapter 56, get this in your head. God is for me. God is for me. It doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter how great the armies that rise against us. It doesn't matter how inferior we might be to them. God is for me. God is for his people. God is for us. God is for us. He says there in that first verse of Genesis 15. I forgot to note them, but there's four, maybe five firsts in the book of Genesis, just in that first verse of chapter 15. Don't get sidetracked. Don't lose me by trying to count them all. Let's stay on track. Get through the message the Lord has for us. But here, the word of the Lord comes unto Abram, saying, "Fear not. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. If you'll get a handle on everything that is involved in after these things in verse number one, let's just limit it to backing up through the 14th chapter. If you'll get a handle on those situations and circumstances that Abram was facing, you'll fully appreciate or better appreciate that the fact when the Lord says, "Fear not," he says, "I am thy shield. I am thy exceeding great reward. I am thy protector. I am thy buckler. I am thy defense." Don't be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. See, that reinforces this thought. Who can come against you when the Lord is your shield? Who can come against you when God's on your side? Who can defeat those who have the Lord as their protector, their buckler, their defense? But he says, not only am I thy shield, but I am thy exceeding great reward. Here's those layers we find often in Scripture. I am thy exceeding great reward. So I am your reward, Abram. But I am exceeding great your reward. I am your reward. I am your great reward. I exceed. I'm exceeding your great reward. I am your payment. I am your salary. I am your wage. I am your reward. I am thy shield and thy reward. I will protect and defend and fight and shield you from your enemies. All that money you've given up, all of that wealth you've given up, all of the nickels and the noses that you could count, all the dollars and all the people that you could put a value on and say you gave up for me, guess what? I am your reward. Do you get the connection? All that he had given up was nothing in light of the fact that God was his reward. God owns everything. God created everything. God has everything within his control and within his power and within his hand. So let's not be fretting over what maybe it costs us to serve the Lord. And let us be reminded he is our exceeding great reward. When you got the guy who owns everything on your side, then how in the world can you even take recognition of anything you've lost by your being on his side? He's our shield, our protector, our defender, our buckler, our defense. He's our exceeding great reward. Psalms 3. Psalm 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Selah, think about that. Many there be which say there is no help for him in God. But look at verse 3. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of mine head. O Lord, you are my shield, my glory, the lifter up of mine head, the lifter up of mine head. And then in Hebrews, it's already been read in services today, but get to point. In light of what God is reminding us of in this passage of Scripture, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have said. Now step back. Let that sink in. Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content. Don't be covetous and be content. Well, how can we help but not sometimes covet? How can we help but sometimes not be content? Well, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. Why? For he has said, God has said, the Lord has said, for he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is our God. God is our possession. God is our shield. God is our exceeding great reward. We can be without covetousness and we can be content when we remind ourselves, He has said, I'm never going to leave you. He's always there. He's always on our side, so to say. So we can overcome covetousness and we can be content with such things as we have if we remember He is our reward. He is on our side. He who made everything, owns everything. He has said, I'll never leave you nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. In our text passage, Genesis 3:18. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, after all he'd been through, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, fear not. The word of the Lord comes to each and every one of us who are his people today. He comes to us saying, fear not. Fear not, because I am thy shield. Fear not, because I am thy exceeding great reward. Don't be afraid. Don't let faith overtake you, faith overcome you. When faith don't let fear overtake you. When fear begins to overtake you, stop and consider where fear comes from. May God give us faith. And that faith will come by our remembering He is our shield. And He is our reward. Abram was looking for some words of encouragement. And when don't we sometimes need words of encouragement? Though we exercise faith, sometimes we just need a little assurance. And you're going to find some assurance in the fact that the Lord never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's always with us. He's always in us. He's always on our side. He's always on our side. He is our shield and exceeding great reward. Let's stand together, have a verse of song.